Welcome again to Ivy. Ivy College, that is, in the town of Ivy, USA. William Todd Hunter Hall is an erudite man. Nobody's ever questioned that fact. He's always prided himself on the fact that most of the quotable quotes from the literature of the world are at his fingertips and on the tip of his tongue. On this particular morning, Mrs. Hall, the former Victoria Cromwell of the English stage, has her mind on a different subject.
Toddie?
Yes, Big James?
I was thinking. What do you think people think when they think about that?
Oh, I think they think very well. When they think, that is, which I don't think is very often. If you mean, would we win a popularity contest if the other contestants were General Eisenhower, Betty Grable, and Little Abner? I think no.
Well, it would be nice if we could have our own little personal Gallup poll to find out how much your enemies liked you and how much your friends hated you.
Remember, Vicky, seek not the favor of the multitude. It is seldom obtained by honest and lawful means. But seek the testimony of the few, and number not voices, but weigh them.
That's a lovely thought. You put things so well.
Oh, it was not mine, my darling. I can't in this case.
You can't what in this case?
I can't anything, dear. I mean, I didn't say I couldn't anything. I said the quotation was, I can't.
Well, either you're being unusually incoherent or I've done my hair too tightly over my ears this morning. Now then, who can't do what?
Victoria, the confusion here seems to be a matter of orthography. It is not C-A-N apostrophe T. It is capital K-A-N-T, Kant. I for Immanuel Kant, German philosopher.
Oh.
Yes, critique of pure reason. And a great man.
They have to be great to get quoted by my husband. He's very picky and choosy.
Yes, you can say that again, baby. That's a quote from Manon.
Manon Lescaut?
No, dear, Man on the Street. That would be Mr. Wellman.
How do you know?
Well, he invariably arrives between my first and second slice of toast, like a blob of marmalade.
Oh, yeah. Quince marmalade. Excuse me, sir, but I admit the brown quince.
Dr. Hall, Mrs. Hall, we've had a stroke of extraordinary luck. Good fortune has descended on Ivy.
Oh, you do seem unusually cheerful this morning.
Why shouldn't I be cheerful? The board has been wrestling with a financial problem for months. Where would we get the additional funds to begin that new wing in the college library? And suddenly the answer drops in our laps.
Well, somebody left us a bequest
better than that, Dr. Hall. For Ivy gets publicity and a nice financial contribution at one at the same time. There is a radio program which wants to come to our campus.
A radio program?
In exchange for this privilege, they would be willing to make a sizable contribution to our library fund.
Radio program?
It is called Note the Quote.
A quiz show? Like King for a Minute? Oh, no.
Yes.
But a quiz show on the campus is out of the question.
But only for a half hour, for 1 week.
But I've heard it. The thing I like about the program is the way they choose their contestants. A poll is taken in advance, you see, and the two intellectual giants of the community are elected.
Intellectual giants?
Yes. The two people in the campus is thought to have the best knowledge of literature and the arts. The two giants meet head on, boom. The winner is declared, and I believe they call him a quotable notable.
Quotable notable? Yes. The library fund needs a bit of additional cash, you say, Mr. Wellman?
It certainly does. The budget has been squeezed dry.
And in this area, the students would vote on their choice of the intellectual giant of the community.
I believe they select two.
Two? Well, now, what two people could the students possibly name?
You mean you give your permission after all?
Well, the library fund is a worthy cause. quotations on this program, then?
That's the general idea.
Well, in that case, it might not be too bad. The art of quoting from the masters is sadly neglected. Besides, it might be the very thing to add, well, intellectual tone. Quote, do I contradict myself? Very well, I contradict myself. I am large, I contain multitudes. Unquote. Leaves of grass, Walt Whitman.
You how happy we are to be on your campus. You and us will educate each other.
You're very welcome here, Mr. Harrison.
Oh, now, mister, just call me Chuckle. That's what all my friends call me.
Well, I must admit it would be difficult calling you Sorrowful Joe. Don't you find this habitual gaiety a little wearing at times?
Well, I sure do, boy. This chin-up business leaves you wide open for a cut throat.
Turned out, Mr. Harris.
Well, my assistants are busy counting the votes at the moment, Mrs. Hall. You know something? If I were voting here, I'd vote for you, Doc.
Yes, sirree, that's what I'm doing. Thank you very much. But I should think the students will name someone like Professor Hershberger in etymology, whom everybody calls the walking encyclopedia.
Not since he's had his appendix removed.
You know, you should write for television.
Tell me something, Mr. Harrison. When a quiz show ends its appointed round, when it goes to the happy hunting ground assigned to extinct radio programs, do they call it a dead giveaway?
Gentlemen, a carton of our rhinestone-studded Alexander Graham Bell, the greatest point killer that ever lived.
I'll get it, dear. Dr. Hall's residence. Yes. Oh, he's here. It's for you, Mr. Harris.
Well, thank you. Is that you, Eugene? Well, happy day, we have the results. Read them to me, Violet, in pear-shaped tones.
I do hope you get
it.
My dear, the results of this absurd show couldn't be further from my mind. It means nothing to me. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, well, thank you, Eugene. Thank you very much. Good point, Eugene. With this, he has earned his freedom. I shall strike off his chains at night, and he can go with Guy Lombardo. I saw myself.
What happened?
It's you, Dr. Hall.
Johnny, you made it.
And your opponent will be a chap named Bradley B. Bradley.
Who?
Bradley B. who?
Bradley B. Bradley. And tomorrow night's the big contest between the two giants of intellect, William Tallender Hall and Bradley B. Bradley.
Bradley B. Bradley.
Well, I'll be off. I'll see you at the auditorium tomorrow night for Note the Course. Goodbye, Doctor.
Is Bradley B. Bradley?
I haven't the faintest idea.
I'm certain there's not a professor, instructor, or even a janitor on campus that I don't know. But I've never heard of Bradley B. Bradley.
Maybe one of the members of the freshman class is a quiz kid out on parole.
Well, let's have a look in the university directory. Mm. That's my local equivalent of the World Almanac.
Yes, it is.
Yes. The Royal Bracket. Bradbury. Bradley. Well, we have one Bradley enrolled here. Hortense Bradley. Oh, economics major.
But no Bradley B. Bradley, huh?
Bradley B. Bradley. Now, there's an unlikely name. I've always objected to people having the same first name and last name. Even Jerome K. Jerome. Very confusing. You don't know whether they're coming or going.
Never had any objection whatsoever to Simone Simone.
No. Now, don't confuse the issue. This Bradley is probably the kind of man who is an expert on Milton and Longfellow. And those are two areas which I have avoided and neglected.
Well, isn't Longfellow considered a little old-fashioned?
Yes, but so is the Declaration of War. But we still have both War and Longfellow. But I admit I've always had a sneaking fondness for the village blacksmith. It was the first poem I ever recited, with gestures.
Bradley, please, Bradley. You don't suppose his middle name is Bradley, too? That would be a little overboard, wouldn't it? Bradley, Bradley, Bradley. Father may have been a beekeeper.
But when a man of such stature resides in your own community, it's humiliating to admit that you don't even know him.
There's a student parked in the house. Let's get him in and ask him.
That's not a bad idea.
Okay, Dick Latimer, I'll call. Oh,
yes! Oh, yes, Mrs.
Hall?
Oh,
if you'd like to come in for a minute.
It's always a pleasure to get a peek inside the powerhouse, see how the other 1% lives.
Hello there, Latimer.
Good afternoon, Dr. Hall.
Tell me, in your wanderings around the campus and the town, have you encountered anyone named Bradley B. Bradley?
Brad? Oh, sure, you're worthy opponent.
Yeah, but what I don't understand is why we don't know Mr. Bradley.
Well, probably because you've preserved your valuable lives by avoiding Ulster Gulch.
Oh, you mean that lovely malt shop at the head of Fraternity Row?
Oh, that Brad, the boy behind the counter, the soda jerk. Of course I know him, by sight, that is. I've never quite summoned up the courage to enter that teeming den of undergraduate indulgence, but I must confess I've watched him through the window, flipping hamburgers with the facility of a Japanese tumbler.
It's too bad you don't know him better. We all get a heck of a charge out of Brad. He's really Moldavius.
Moldavius?
Moldavius, Vicky, is a recent superlative of Magnolius, meaning immensical and voluptuous.
Hey, I like that voluptuous. That's really George.
George? I'm still back with Bradley Bradley's middle B.
Oh, that's for Bartlett, his mother's maiden name.
Bartlett? Any relation to the quotations, Bartlett?
Brad claims his mother wrote them. Anyway, he spends all his spare time memorizing. He practically knows them backwards.
Well, then I'll bet you do too, Dr. Hall. Not backwards.
Anything else you want to know about Brad?
No, thanks very much.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I've got a class. Oh, one thing, Dr. Hall. All the kids think it's really great of you to go on this program with Brad. It's a big thing for Ivy.
Well, thank you, Latimer.
Well, good luck. Goodbye, Mr. Hall.
Goodbye.
You know, Vicky, if this Bradley has really memorized Bartlett's quotations, I've got a match in my hand.
But Bartlett isn't the only authority on quotations.
Well, no, there's Benham, very good source, and Mencken's rather monumental contribution, and then, of course...
There you are, you see. This Bradley's a one-book man. You know them all.
Oh, I'd hardly say that, my darling. Oh, no, don't confuse an affectionate acquaintance with a complete mastery. The question is, can the quotatious college president stand up to a Moldavian's hamburger flipper?
A very grilling question, Doctor.
A quiz show called Note to Quote has descended on the campus. The two intellectual giants chosen to compete are President William Todhunter Hall, Bradley Bartlett Bradley, chief hamburger flipper at the malt shop, Ulster Gulch. Mrs. Hall, having read and seen what every woman knows, decides she must help her husband. So right now, she's paying a visit to Ulster Gulch.
Excuse me, I'm looking for a giant malt and Mr. Bradley B. Bradley.
I'll get you one and the other's me.
Oh!
Chocolate or vanilla?
Well, what do you suggest?
Well, depends on who you believe in. Variety is the very spice of life. William Cowper. Or the steadfast man, hit all my awe, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
You You like Longfellow?
Oh, great man. 7.5 pages in Bartlett.
You're a big quote fan, aren't you?
Well, I'll tell you confidentially, lady. The food's not very good here. Some people disguise their chow with ketchup and some use mustard. Me? I use quotations. Hamburgers a la Hugo. Chili a la Chaucer. I hide the grump with a gab. Care to play the jukebox? Music when soft voices die vibrates in the memory. Shelley.
Well, I don't think Mr. Shelley had jukeboxes in mind when he wrote that.
Well, then he never heard our jukebox. It vibrates something awful. Oh, excuse me. I got to flip a hamburger.
Yes.
One man's meat is another man's poison. Beaumont and Fletcher said that. One hamburger coming up.
Bradley.
Let's not stand on formality. Call me by my first name.
All right. Bradley.
Yes, ma'am.
How do you feel about your great honor, the students choosing you to compete against the president of the university?
Yeah. It looks like I meet the champ, don't it?
Well, aren't you pleased? You've been tossed a laurel wreath.
A laurel wreath?
Mm-hmm.
Laurel is green for a season, and laurel outlives not May Swinburne. I'm scared to sell
it. With all those quotations at your fingertips, why should you be scared?
Well, I hear Doc Hall can quote you right into a corner. I'll probably leave with a light Swinburne and get knocked cockeyed with a looming Alfred Lord Tennyson.
Well, I'm in Dr. Hall's corner.
Naturally. You being his wife.
Oh, then you knew who I was.
Yes, Mrs. Hall. I guess I put on a pretty corny act for you, didn't I? But then I suspected you were just out scouting for the doctor.
Yeah, well, I was.
I'd like you to tell Dr. Hall that I'm mighty proud to be on the same program with him and scared stiff.
Well, why don't you drop by the house tonight and tell him yourself? I think it's only fair that you should get a chance to meet your adversary before you're thrown into the ring together. And don't forget, quote, don't judge your enemy's strength until you've seen him from all angles, including north, unquote. Oh.
I can't recognize that one, Mrs. Hall.
You should. I'm his football coach.
I chose my wife as she did her wedding gown, not for a fine, glossy surface, but such qualities as would wear well.
Oh, is that a left or a right-handed compliment, William?
It's Oliver Goldsmith, Mrs. Hall, the Vicar of Wakefield. My move. Fools rush in where angels fear to die.
I got caught on that one once. Yes, indeed. You know, that's like trying to remember how to spell calendar. You know, but when you stop and think, you forget whether there's an E or an A in the middle.
Mm. Are you stalling for time, William?
What was that?
Are you stalling?
No. That's one I couldn't forget. It's Alexander Pope. Essay on criticism.
That particular line is a pet of mine, Dr. Hall. And for the darndest reason. A footnote to it started me reading Shakespeare.
Well, any reason is a good one. But what footnote would that be?
Wrens may pray where eagles dare not perch.
Oh, yes. Cambridge of the Third, yes.
Now, that's it, Doc. I read the whole play after that, and I haven't stopped reading them since.
Yes, when you open a new door, you can never tell how many rooms lie beyond.
Oh, that door reminds me I got to open up in the morning. I better leave.
Well, I've enjoyed this very much, Mr. Bradley.
Well, so have I. You know, I've been quoting these things as a kind of a gag, just to make sure that nobody thinks I'm high-having. But, Dr. Hall, I just love quotations. Somehow, all the words seem to be in the right places.
Yes, well, every book is a quotation, and every house is a quotation out of all forests and mines and stone quarries, and every man is a quotation from all his ancestors.
Yeah. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Well, good night, Doctor.
Good night,
Doctor.
Well, that's an incredible memory. He has total recall. I'm sure he does know most about it.
Well, you two certainly had a good workout. Better have a shower and a rub down before you turn in, champ.
You know, darling, I have to confess that after all my misgivings, I'm rather looking forward to this contest. If this tag end of the Bartlett line could beat me, you know that.
Do you wish me to answer that as your wife or as a free citizen?
All I know is I'm going to go in there punching, and I'll murder it. Seriously, Vicky, it doesn't matter who wins. It's the game that's important. And Bradley and I will try to make this game a good one.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's our time and your time to note the quote. But first, we note our two contestants, the two men voted the highest QQ on the Ivy campus. QQ, that's quotation quotient. Now, here they are, Dr. William Todd Hunter Hall and Mr. Bradley B. Bradley. Now, please conduct our little quiz session somewhat like a college course. We make it easy at the beginning, and then we talk it to you at the final exam. Oh, nothing. So here's one. Here's one that's right up your alley, Doctor. Who said, now listen, a learned man is an idler who kills time by study?
That was George Bernard Shaw.
Oh, good heavens, what's that?
Well, that means that you're on the beam, Doctor.
Oh. Well, what happens if I'm off?
Oh, you'll find out. Well, and now it's your turn, Mr. Bradley. We understand that you're in the catering profession. Is that right? Well, we picked out an appropriate dish for you. See? A perpetual piece of nectared sweets where no crude surfeit reigns.
John Milton from Comus.
Very, very promising start. And now the second round. Watch your step, gentlemen. All right, Dr. Hall, here's one right down your eye.
Now, take an extra second, Mr. Bradley, if you wish. This is your last question. I repeat, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith.
It's from the Bible, of course. It's,
I got it. The second epistle of Paul the Apostle to Timothy.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in the history of Note the Quote, both contestants have a perfect score. Too happy to give a financial donation to the Ivy Library Fund, and to the contestants, our special citation, Quoters of the Week. Yes, indeed, there they are. They've solved all their problems, but they've left me with one. Due to their rapid-fire answers, we're 2 minutes short on this radio program. Well, that's radio for you, but it gives us a chance to know a little more about our intellectual science. Dr. Hall, I'm sort of a spot with you. Something brilliant.
I might. Let me see.
Yeah, please.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Not at all. Yes, I would.
Ladies and gentlemen, it was Emerson who wrote, by necessity, by proclivity, and by delight, we all quote. You see, here I am, quoting Emerson, and why? Because that is just what I wanted to say, and he said it so well. After all, quoting is a recognition of truth. We all enjoy this same rich heritage of the world's beauty. It is our common property, and we should share it to the fullest.
Dr. Hall, that was a terrific ad lib.
Well, Emerson gave me the start.
Oh, no, but the rest of it, you can't fool me, Dr. Hall. I'll bet you've been on the radio before.
Now, who ever heard of a college president going on the radio?
How much more time have I got? Well, in that case, I'd like to make an experiment, if I may throw one more quotation at my friend Mr. Bradley. Of course, I will gladly offer him the same opportunity.
Well, if it's all right with you, Bradley, it's all right with us. Only this is strictly unofficial. The contest is over and remains a tie.
Well, sure, Doc. Find our way.
All right. Methinks the truth should live from age to age as 'twere retailed to all posterity, even to the general all-ending day.
What, Doctor? All that's Shakespeare. That's from King Richard III.
Well, that's absolutely right. But the remarkable thing, ladies and gentlemen, is that this quotation is not included in Bartlett's quotations. And it makes my point. Mr. Bradley knows Richard III because of a footnote in Bartlett's. You see, the simple discovery of one true sentence can lead to the whole world's treasury.
Is it my turn, Dr. Hall?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, this should be easy for you, and it's in line with what you just said. When you open a new door, you can never tell how many rooms lie beyond it.
Oh, of course. Yes, indeed. Yes, that's one of my favorites. Oh, that's a great one. Yes, it's fine. Now, wait a minute. Don't tell me. I know. Why, of course. I know the author just as well as
You've had enough time to recognize that, Dr. Hall. That's why Dr. William Todd Hunter Hall of Ivy College.
Dr. Hall can remember everything but something that he said himself.
Well, since you put it that way, Mr. Harrison, you have pointed out the one real danger in this game of quotes. If, to say what you want to say, you rely too much upon what other people have said, you may forget what it is that you should have said, because, after all, it was you who wanted to say it.
When there's beer on your mind, your best thought is Schlitz, the beer that made Milwaukee famous. More people like the taste of Schlitz than any other beer. That's why Schlitz is the largest selling beer in America.
Now, here again are Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Colton.
Well, I'm very proud of you, darling. You're the answer to both a maiden's prayer and a quizmaster's question.
Well, I thought Brad was quite a worthy antagonist. In fact, as a friendly gesture, I'd like to stop in at Ulster Gulch tomorrow and buy you a strawberry malt.
Can you make it a Sunday?
I can make it any day you like, darling, and thank you for the fun. Good night, everyone.
Week at this same time at the Halls of Ivy, starring Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Colton. Mr. Wellman was played by Herbert Butterfield. The other players were Jim Backus,